Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. Now, my guest today was born in 1947, just a few years after Charles de Gaulle defeated the Vichy government that collaborated with France's Nazi invaders during World War II. Yeah, we're going a way back. But in his career to come, Pascal Lamy would become a leading champion of all things European and global. He's a former head, two-term head of the World Trade Organization. He's a one-time chief of staff to the late European Commission president, Jacques Delors. And he's dedicated himself every step of the way to things like greater global cooperation, the free market, free trade, and here in Europe, to ever closer political and economic integration. Now, that's a mouthful. But I do know, Pascal Lamy, welcome. I do know that you are probably watching, maybe even more closely than the rest of us, what's happening in Europe right now, especially after these European elections in which far-right parties made significant gains, even if the center is still holding. What's your initial takeaway from what you just saw?
Well, European elections are always tricky to interpret because they are hybrid. They are both national elections and European elections. And depending on whether you look at the wings and the legs, interpretation may be different. The impression I sometimes have, it's like a plane that takes off. Then you enter a turbulent altitude with wind and blah, blah, blah. And then you go up. And then when you are at a higher altitude, it's much calmer. Now, this is, I think, what you need to understand. At the EU level, as far as European policies, attitude, stance for the five next years to come, the result at European level in one of the chambers of the EU, which is the House, which is directly elected by the people. You have another house, which is a sort of Senate, which represents heads of state and government, so it's the government. As far as the EU Parliament is concerned, the result is predictable.
Minimal damage, perhaps.
That's, I think, a good qualification. There was some push to the right, but this push was contained, less than expected by some. So, yes, we will have a slightly more right-wing European Parliament, although what really matters in a parliamentary system with a large variety of parties is whether the government, i.e. the Commission,
right,
can rely on a stable majority.
And this is the question everyone is asking now. And you're talking about Europe, but in your own country, France, I'll use the word damage again. Maybe you'll use a different word. The far right's gains were especially strong. France, Germany, Italy to a certain extent. Why France? Why was France such an outlier, if you will, in Europe, your country?
So let's finish on the European side of the equation.
France is a founding member of Europe, right?
I'll come back to that. The European parliamentary life will be rather stable. The odds that Mrs. von der Leyen will be re-elected as president of the Commission are high. This is continuity. The Christian Democrats, the Social Democrats, and the centrists will probably hold a coalition together. So, stability, I mean, in a way, it's calm. You're absolutely right. When you go back to the national level, and especially in France.
Especially France, that's where I'm going back.
Not only in France. I mean, the Belgian prime minister had to resign following European elections. So there is an interaction between the European political space
right.
and the national one. And in France, as expected, and the polls were in this direction for a long time, we have a presidential system, which is very different from others in the European Union. And we have a sort of European elections look at midterm elections.
In the United States a little bit.
So in France, it's a good occasion.
This was an election about Macron, Emmanuel
Macron. Absolutely. It was an anti-Macron.
An anti-Macron, not...
Absolute result. A very big one.
Yeah.
He lost a large number of seats in his group. The extreme right gained a large number of seats. And so this has immediate consequences on French politics, which is why he decided to dissolve the parliament and have snap elections, the likelihood of which, and I'm not on that side, as I think everybody knows, the likelihood of which is to have an extreme right government sometime in July now.
Well, Pascal, could I just interrupt? I just want to help us. Be an oracle here. Give us a prophecy. Because Macron, the thinking, some people say, is he thought, okay, so French were mad. They wanted to vent their frustration, maybe at me personally. They voted against me in Europe. And he's betting now, perhaps, that the French, when they have to vote at home, won't do in France what they did in Europe. Do you have that faith, if that's what he's thinking?
I think this is one explanation of his behavior. Another one might be that he knows that for the next years to come, he's a sort of lame duck. No majority in the parliament. Muddling through, and that leads to a likely scenario where Madame Le Pen and the extreme right will become president. So the keys of the Élysée, which is where the essential of the power lies in France, would go to the Front National. His calculation may be, let's have them in government, show that they don't do what they say they would do, like most populist movements. And then when 27 comes, people will be able to see the difference between a populist party that pretends he will do miracles and the reality.
The reality in governance.
In governance.
In power.
And then it's a sort of, if I was a Chinese, I would say, exchange the keys of Matignon for the keys of Élysée.
As a former World Trade Organization chief, how should or how would France, under a more far-right government, engage with China? And how should they be engaging with China right now?
A far-right government in France will certainly be more protectionist than what we have now. This would lead to France taking a more protectionist stance within the Council of Ministers.
Right.
But remember, trade policy in the European Union is decided by the majority.
So it's not necessarily the far right which will block this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because you're not a protectionist, you're a precautionist, I think.
That's my way of looking at things, because I believe that issues like environment security or economic security, which have penetrated the EU agenda, my own guess, for what it's worth, is that this will happen, but marginally.
Marginally, not giant, dramatic.
EU will remain in favor of open trade. And the simple reason for that is that our own domestic capacity to generate growth is much lower than the average on the planet for a variety of reasons. So when you have a low growth economy and high growth economy elsewhere, you have to go and pick growth
where
it is.
You have to do something wherever it is.
And this implies open trade.
I want to leave you with a thought or a reaction to something you wrote 12 years ago. You wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times in the US. And it was at the moment of Europe when Greece was at the center of Europe's debt crisis. And I want to quote what you wrote. It was interesting. You wrote, the European stage must be lit up for the European project to advance. I get a sense of some optimism right now. You're not entirely pessimistic. The European stage is lit up right now, but I would argue it's not lit up in the way you would have imagined.
You're right. It's lit up. The reason why people care more about Europe, and the participation rate in the European elections was a bit higher than last time, not much, but a bit higher, has to do with the fact that the world has become a terrible place for many people. So if you're caught between Putin, Xi Jinping, and possibly Trump, then the notion that you'd better coalize, solidarize, get your acts together is much more obvious than in normal peaceful times. Unfortunately, this is where we are, and this is the reason why I believe EU will grow. I mean, EU integration is probably more to come because of this situation, probably, and in my view, hopefully, although I'm not sure.
Pascal Labbé, I love ending interviews with the words hopefully and a little bit of optimism. We can sorely use that type of opinion and attitude right now. Thank you so much for being here today. Thanks to all of you watching. We're all watching, Pascal Labbé and us. What is going to be the next step in a Europe where far-right forces are gaining more power, but they're not in control yet, and maybe they never will be.